All right. A little Texas baseball conversation here, Buck, as we are now less than 2 hours away.
Got a nooner, huh?
A high nooner. Texas, the number one seed in the Austin Regional, taking on the four seed Holy Cross. The Crusaders coming in from Worcester, Mass.
Worcester, Mass, coming in.
This one today, it should be a hot one. Temperatures expected to be above 90 degrees at UFCU Ditch Falk Field. I feel like the folks from Worcester are not used to that, Buck.
No, they are not. They are snow bunnies, and they've had a little bit of warm weather back there on the East Coast, but not like this. Not the way it's been feeling out here lately. You know, we've had these rains and that humidity coming up, and that humidity coming up through that turf is going to be nasty for them.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough for the crowd, too. I mean, yes. I wonder what type of showing we get at the dish, because it is a work day, allegedly, and it
what? Is. What? On a Friday here in Austin?
12 o'clock game. You're right. This is the city that never works.
On a Friday, for sure.
You got the city that never sleeps in New York. Austin, I'm coining it the city that never works. So hopefully it's a great crowd on hand at the dish. Yeah. And look, everyone's looking ahead to a potential rematch against Tarleton State or a potential matchup against the two-seed UC Santa Barbara, but obviously you've got to take care of business today. And look, style points don't matter. All you have to do is win, survive in advance. That's the name of the game when you get to the NCAA tournament, but you'd really like to have a stress-free opener against a Holy Cross team that was sub-500 during the regular season. They got hot at the right time. They won the Patriot League Conference Tournament Championship, so they got the automatic bid. But, I mean, they have not seen anybody close to as good as Texas. And, again, they were a three games under 500 team despite playing in a really, really bad conference.
Yeah, I think that's the same conference with Lafayette and Lehigh, the Mountain Hawks or whatever. They used to be the Engineers, but now they're the Mountain Hawks. I think that's the conference they play in.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah, Lafayette.
Not Louisiana Lafayette. You're talking about Lafayette.
Yeah, I'm talking about Lafayette in eastern Pennsylvania, right down the street from Kutztown, PA, which we've been talking about. That's the league they've been in.
Yeah, it's not a good league. And, you know, you look at Holy Cross's non-conference schedule, too. They did not play a single quad one or quad two game all year. Their strength of schedule is 251st nationally. It sounds like Texas Tech football, if we're being honest.
Oh, Joy's not going to want to hear that.
No. I mean, their RPI is outside the top 200. Holy Cross has only played three top 100 RPI games this year, and it was a three-game series against VCU at the very beginning of the season. They got swept, and they lost all three of those games by a combined 26 runs.
Do they happen to have the Maine Black Bears on their schedule at all?
I did not look up if Maine was on their schedule, but there is a chance.
Wow.
They didn't play anybody from a power conference this year, so it just goes to show you the step up in competition for them. Now, we've seen four seeds beat ones. Hell, we've seen four seeds go all the way to Omaha, so you don't take anybody lightly. They have to be playing good baseball to get here. Again, they got their automatic bid in the conference tournament, so they've been hot as of late. But this is a significant talent gap between these two teams today.
Yeah, it's what is your team going to do? That's the deal.
Exactly. That's what this is about. Like, Luke Harrison's getting the ball for Texas. You know, Texas is pitching off. That's the phrase in college baseball when you're not throwing your ace in your first game.
Sure.
Of a regional. The Longhorns aren't the only number one seed that's doing this, by the way. There's a ton of them around the country who are like, yeah, we want to save that guy. We think our number two or number three is good enough to beat this four seed. We want to make sure we have our number one for a 1-0 game on Saturday.
Played off last week.
Yeah, it'll be, no kidding. It'll be Luke Harrison, who did pitch last week in Hoover. He pitched pretty well coming out of the bullpen, throwing up a couple of zeros against Arkansas in that SEC tournament loss. Luke Harrison, the fifth-year senior, he gets the ball for Texas. And, the only way this game is that close or that interesting is if Texas beats themselves, right? If they're issuing free passes. They're walking guys. They're hitting guys. They make a bunch of errors defensively. They're chasing pitches when they're in the batter's box. Like, that's how you let a team like Holy Cross stick around and potentially pull off what would be a
you have to be careful trying to make this a stat game, you know, because you're at home and you just, you know, who you're playing against and you're thinking about your stats and not thinking about what your team needs to have done for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just win and take care of business. But again, you want this to be a pretty stress-free game. Like in a perfect, perfect world, you know, Luke Harrison goes out there and gives you six innings.
Yep.
And you don't have to use Sam Cozart today. Now, Cozart has shown you that he can pitch multiple days in a row, no problem. He did that against really good SEC competition. But it's like you want to save your best bullpen guys. You're already saving Valantis and Riojas. You'd like to save your best bullpen arms for, you know, UCSB or Tarleton State, whoever you get tomorrow night, assuming you win.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what you want right there. And look, Holy Cross has a couple of good players. They've got this guy, CJ Egry, who's 5'9". So what, like 2 or 3 inches taller than you, Buck?
No, he's my height. He's exactly my height. I'm just a little bit, I'm 3/4. So I'm a little bit more than, I can probably put my chin on the top of his head. Yeah.
You're only 3/4 of a foot or of an inch?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit more. I'm just a little taller than he is.
Oh, you're saying you're 5'9¾".
Yes, that's what I am, yes. So that means he can stick his head underneath here. And that's how tall I'm going to be. Thank you very much.
I'm going to watch this guy on TV today, and I'm going to see if he's really
screen share that. Absolutely.
I don't think that's right there.
You say, is that the guy who's on the mound for them?
No. He's one of their bats. Reason I bring him up, he has 46 steals this year. He's one of the fastest players in college baseball.
Oh, so he does have my speed.
I've seen you walk. I was going to say run, but I didn't even need to go there. I've seen you walk.
Okay.
I don't know what your speed was back when you were playing college sports, but this guy could fly. Look for Holy Cross, like they want to create chaos. They're going to try to get people on base, steal bags, move runners, try to scratch together runs. This is not a power hitting team at all. Their leading home run guy has 6 bombs this year. Wow. For reference, Texas has 6 players with more than 6 homers, and they play at the Dish, which is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. So they don't hit the ball out of the yard. They can run. They've got speed. The CJ Egry guy actually stole home in the Patriot League championship game. So if he gets on base, get ready. Carson Tinney helps that Luke Harrison's a lefty. And it makes it tougher to steal bags off of him. And their pitcher, since you asked about their pitcher, he's actually okay. Jaden Wiwoda, like he's their ace. They're throwing their number one guy, which, of course, makes sense. 3.76 ERA, senior right-hander, 5 complete games this year, which is near the country's lead. He's their workhorse. He's their guy. So, again, this team hasn't played anybody the likes of Texas. So this will be the best offense he's had to go up against all year. But, like, he is significantly better than any other pitcher they have. So for the Longhorns, the key is to get to that guy, get him out of the game, and get to their bullpen, which is not that good.
Yeah, this will be an eye-opener for the Holy Cross baseball team, too. When I came to Texas in 74 as a football player, when we drove on the bus and saw the baseball stadium, we thought it was the football stadium. It was so big. So those kids from Holy Cross – this baseball stadium will be as big as their football facility.
Oh yeah,
it will be. They'll be in shock.
I will say this. I mean, you're probably right, but Holy Cross did make the tournament last year, and they had to play at North Carolina, which is a pretty big.
They did see a nice stadium. Okay,
so they did see that. You know, different group obviously this year versus last year. But yeah, like I don't know, some of the guys at least have the experience of playing in a much bigger ballpark that's bigger than
some of them. Absolutely could. You know, be playing some summer ball down the Cape League, probably.
Yeah, I mean, they got a couple of guys for sure. But again, the talent gap between these two teams is pretty big. Like, it'd be an upset if Holy Cross won a game in this regional. Forget beating Texas. That'd obviously be huge. But, like, let's say Holy Cross loses today. They'll get the loser of Tarleton and UCSB in the elimination game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It'd be a big surprise if they beat either of those teams, too.
I would agree.
So they're one of the weakest teams in the field, according to RPI, according to record, according to metrics. Again, they made the tournament. They're here. Those guys are on scholarship too, as Mac Brown would say. But you got no business losing to these guys today. That's for
sure. Yeah, those guys are on scholarship and actually going to school, yes.
Holy Cross?
Yeah.
They're learning Christian stuff, yeah? They're learning about the Crusades and how to crusade?
No, that's just the ones who run the school. They're not over exuberant about religion there.
The College of the Holy Cross.
Yes. I went to Boston College. They were the Jesuits. So it wasn't that it's not you don't have to go to mass every day or do any of that other stuff there.
Trying to see if Holy Cross has won a championship in any sport. Let's see. How about this? Here's a nugget about Holy Cross, according to their Wikipedia page, which you can't put anything on that website that isn't true, right?
Well, it all has to be true, yes.
Holy Cross won a baseball national championship in 1952. They are one of only 9 schools to have won a national championship in both college baseball and college basketball. Apparently, they won a college basketball championship in 1947. You know who they beat in the Final Four national title game in 1947?
Kentucky.
Oklahoma.
Oh, sorry, Sooners. Wow. You got beat by Holy Cross, really?
Now, Texas also made the Final Four that year, and they got beat by Oklahoma in the semifinal, so I can't talk too much trash.
Oh, no, that's it.
But the Longhorns did win the third place game against the Beavers of City College of New York.
City College, nice.
And we've gone way off the rails here. So there's your Holy Cross fun fact. They have won a baseball national championship and a basketball national championship. One of 9 schools to have done that, but it's been a very long time since they did.
God, I remember there was something I remember about Holy Cross in football. It was a long time ago. Had been a 2-way player that was in the Heisman Trophy race. I do believe an offensive wide receiver and I think a defensive back that was in the Heisman race. I don't know if it was during the Flutie years, but forget what that dude's name was. That'll come back to me.
Okay.
CB will find that out.
CB will find it out. I like that.
Because nobody gives a rat's ass about Holy Cross.
Yeah. That's the
whole point. I lost my last college football game to them.
It's pretty embarrassing. Yeah, I want that to be this show's Holy Cross story. I don't want it to be Texas baseball losing to Holy Cross today. That's not what we need. We'll keep it on you. Keep the anus on you or whatever the expression is. Yeah, I said that right. By the way, while we're talking about the Austin Regional, I will mention this. UCSB is not pitching their ace, Jackson Flora, today.
They're saving that dude, huh?
They're starting Calvin Prosky for their game tonight against Tarleton State, the 2-3 matchup in the Austin Regional, which means if UCSB wins and Texas wins, we will get Dylan Volantis against Jackson Flora tomorrow night.
Awesome.
That will be the best pitching matchup of the entire NCAA tournament. And it would happen on day 2 of the tournament. So I was hoping UTSB, I'm just combining UTSA and UCSB now. I was hoping UCSB was going to pitch Flora today. So it's like, we don't have to worry about seeing that guy tomorrow. But that's not the case. I think it's the right move by them. It's a risk because they might lose to Tarleton State, and then they're going to have Flora pitching against Holy Cross tomorrow
in
an elimination game. But I think it's the right move. You don't play to win one. You play to win the regional. Their best chance of beating Texas is winning tonight and then having Jackson Flora on the mound against the Longhorns tomorrow. So I was hoping they wouldn't do it, but they did. So that's Texas baseball. Now you've got Texas softball, Buck. The Texas softball team dropped their Women's College World Series opener yesterday afternoon in Oklahoma City. The Longhorns losing to the Lady Vols of Tennessee. 6-3, the final. Not a great showing by Texas. Tegan Kavan only lasted 3 innings on the mound. You know, she cruised through the top of the first inning. 1-2-3, only needed 5 pitches. It looked like she had picked up exactly where she left off from that Arizona State game. But the second inning, things went off the rails in a hurry.
She's thrown a lot of pitches, man.
She's thrown a lot of pitches. I mean, she threw a lot of pitches last year. Like this, she's done this before. And last year in Oklahoma City, she was unbelievably good. And she had a, before that second inning yesterday where she gave up three runs, she had a streak of 32 straight scoreless innings in Oklahoma City. So in the Women's College World Series, the biggest moments going up against the best competition, she had gone 32 consecutive innings without giving up a run, obviously going back to last year. So it was a bit of a surprise to see her kind of fall apart the way that she did.
Yeah, she got pretty blasted pretty good yesterday.
Well, some of it was on her. I mean, she hit the first batter of the second inning. She walked the second batter of the second inning. What they say about free passes, and they say about leadoff walks and leadoff hit batters.
Oh, yeah.
The next batter comes up with two ducks on the pond and hits a three-run bomb to center field on the first pitch. So it was a lot of self-inflicted wounds. I mean, Texas lost by three. Three of the runs that Tennessee scored got on base via the walk or a HBP.
Right.
So that was literally the difference in the game right there. So you can talk about it with Texas baseball. Texas softball, those self-inflicted wounds, they hurt you. They come back to bite you. Tennessee's too good. This was a Tennessee team. I know they were a seven seed, so it was an upset. But Tennessee was the number one team in America for 5 weeks during the regular season. They were maybe the best team in the country in the first half of the year. They stumbled a little bit.
State had it going on. Tennessee had it going on first. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee was awesome. And they're a seven seed. They're not bad. But, yeah, they were really, really good. And, again, they sort of collapsed down the stretch. I don't know, collapsed is probably too strong of a word. But they hit some speed bumps. But that's a talented team. And if you give them extra opportunities, then they're going to beat you. And that's exactly what happened to Texas.
Yeah, but they've done it before where they've lost game one. You know, that's – they seem to fight back pretty hard.
That's the hope.
Now you say they got to go four straight.
Yeah, it's that's what's different about the Super Regional, right? Like Texas has made a habit of losing game one in the Supers and then coming back to win. But you only have to win two in a row to do that. And the Women's College World Series, they've got to win four games in a row now against a number of different teams. It's not like, we saw this team once, so we know what to expect. It's different teams that you've got to play. And, yeah, you've got a lot of elimination games just to get to the championship series. It's not like, you win four straight, you win the national championship. It's you win four straight, and then you've got to beat somebody else two out of three times.
Right.
To win the national championship.
Who else won? Did Bama win last night?
Yes. Bama took care of UCLA. You had Texas Tech run rule Mississippi State. And you had Nebraska in extra innings, 10 innings, hit a walk-off home run against Arkansas. So Texas will play Mississippi State tonight, 6 o'clock, in an elimination game. Again, Mississippi State, they pulled off that huge upset over OU. The Sooners got to be kicking themselves right now watching Mississippi State get boat raced by Texas Tech yesterday.
Yeah, how about that? You think they were still living off that win against Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah. And Texas Tech's really good, too. Obviously, the team the Longhorns beat in the championship series last year. That was clearly their moment and they look lost. And the hope is that, like, all right, yeah, Mississippi State, they had their fun. They had their magical moment. They're just going to be two in barbecue and Texas can take care of business tonight. But look, they're good. I mean, they got to the tournament. They pulled off a couple of upsets to get here. And I mean, they earned their spot. So you can't take them lightly. Texas did not play Mississippi State in the regular season or in the conference tournament. So this would be the first meeting between the two clubs here in 2026. But they've got some talent too. So yeah, the Longhorns better figure this one out pretty quickly. But the unfortunate stat, I don't think Texas is going to cave in. I don't think they're going to go down without a fight. But I brought this up with Rodney yesterday. The Women's College World Series started in 1969. Only four teams lost their opening game and went on to win the national championship. Four in almost 60 years, Buck.
Wow.
So it's possible. Last team to do it was Oklahoma in 2021. It's definitely possible. But the Longhorns, again, they've got to win four in a row just to get to the championship series. And then they obviously have to win that to become team number five.
Yeah. As someone saying yesterday, got off the bus, it was 93 degrees and 98, percent humidity yesterday. This feel is going to be, I don't care how you got yourself ready to do it, you can't get ready for it like that, BK.
Are you talking about baseball or are you talking about softball?
No, I'm talking about any part of this deal here where you get off and the humidity is like it is right now. It is something here. It is something. The team who's used to being around this stuff is really going to be okay with it. Baseball, softball, whatever it is, it's and now that you lost one game and you got to go back to back to back to back, this is a son of a gun now. Even in Oklahoma, it's still, they've got some humidity there right now too after all these rains.
Yeah, no, it's these games are in Oklahoma City. I don't know. Texas is used to the weather. They've played in hot weather. That shouldn't be a factor for them, I wouldn't think. But here's Mike White after the game yesterday talking about the loss to Tennessee and how the Longhorns turned things around.
Yeah, obviously, congratulations to the University of Tennessee. They outplayed us today in all facets of the game. We fought hard to come back, but we weren't able to kind of capitalize on some opportunities we had. They made a really nice play on the line drive to the first baseman that kind of killed our rally. But they also kept on scoring runs and kept the pressure on. So congratulations to them as they move on. Now we've got our backs to the wall. We've got to come out and play a better all-round game tomorrow, challenge the ladies on that to see what we can bring and how we can play a lot better than what we did today. Felt like it wasn't our best game, and they agreed. So we got to kind of turn it up right now and just come back with a better game overall.
Yeah, that's a lot. Four games is a lot, dude.
Yeah, it is. They need Tegan Kavan to bounce back. I mean, we know what she's capable of, again, in this ballpark, in this situation. She wasn't good. Everyone has off days. She chose a bad time to have one. And like Tennessee's pitching staff, they've got the best pitching staff in the country. Texas scoring three runs. I know that's not a super high number, but Tennessee's team ERA was 1.35 going in. So the Longhorns more than doubled the average amount of runs that Tennessee allows. We kind of felt like if Texas was going to win this game, it was going to have to be a 3-2 or a 2-1 kind of game. Unfortunately, Kavan didn't have it. Sitlali Gutierrez ate up some innings, which is important because Kavan got some runs.
That was very important.
Yeah, but she gave up three runs herself. So, like, it's, you know, if she was on her game, then Texas would have had obviously a better chance to win. So, yeah, pitching's just, you're playing a team like Tennessee, you need to be able to pitch with them because they don't give you a lot of opportunities to score. Texas did put up three. They had a couple of other chances. Caden Henry got robbed of a couple of extra base hits by some really nice defensive plays by the Lady Vols and some bad luck as well. But, yeah, you got to put that one behind you pretty quick. And the task is very, very tall to go back to back.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the game yesterday. How did good softball, how did she play yesterday?
Leanne Good, she hit a two-run home run, which was great to see. Because she was 1-for-18 in the tournament before that at bat.
No.
She was amazing in the tournament or championship run last year.
Yeah, when she's going, it seems like they're going. So that's good. That's at least good to hear.
Yeah, that's a big confidence boost for her, and they need her to keep it going.
Right.
I mean, the game was, I think, 6-1 at the time, or 5-1 at the time when she hit that homer. So it made it 5-3. It made it closer, but like the result was kind of already in hand at that point. But yeah, now the hope is that she could carry that over into tonight's game against Mississippi State. And, you know, got to get Katie Stewart going, got to get Reese Atwood going, and just need Tegan Kavan to be at her best. She's been great with her back against the wall, as this team has, but this is a different animal. I mean, Mike White's been here three times at Texas. This is the fourth. This is the first time his team's ever lost the first game. So they've never been in this situation before. Now they've got to figure it out. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. We got to get to some of these Greg Sankey comments. Maybe we'll get back to the Texas Tech chatter from earlier in the show as well. But before anything else, Buck, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
So our friends over at Sue Patrick with the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel, collectibles, accessories, tons of Texas-themed items, books, cards, and a wide variety, folks, of men's and women's clothing. Ladies, your gear is in for the spring and the summer, as a matter of fact. Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders, $59 or more, free curbside pickup. And there's always plenty of parking space at 5222 Burnett Road. Get ready. Father's Day just around the corner here in June. Make sure the dad gets something that he likes. If he goes by there and he tells you about it, you can get it online, folks, of course, at SuePatrick.com. Or you can go by the store. I like going by the store. I'm that guy. I want to be in the store because you're going to see things that you've never seen before when it comes to Texas gear. I mean, they've got puzzles. They got everything that you're looking for at Sue Patrick. We love the folks over at Sue Patrick. For more information, as I said, go to SuePatrick.com.
You know what else is key about shopping in store?
What's that?
They got fitting rooms.
Yes.
My clothes online might not fit you very well. You got to return it. I mean, they'll do it. Don't get me wrong. Their customer service is second to none. But you just go in store, you get to try everything on. You know how it looks. You know how it fits. You know how it feels.
Yeah, because I'm a medium, and sometimes I think I'm a large, and I don't. I just bring it back with me, and I have to return it because the large is large, and I'm a medium. You know what I'm saying?
You're a small, sir.
Come on, sir.
You know the rules. You are a small, sir. Shout out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. These guys are big time. They're the best at what they do. We've had a lot of crazy weather, right? And it's not just hail that can impact your roof. I want to really emphasize that. Heavy winds, flying debris, rain, all of those things can hurt your roof. So you might be like on your sidewalk in your front yard, like, yeah, roof looks pretty good from down here. It might not be. It might not be. Check out the Qualis. It's a free inspection. They're also going to buy you a Longhorn shirt from Sue Patrick just for having them out. Free inspections, free storm assessments, and here's the key. Maybe nothing's wrong, and they'll tell you, hey, nothing's wrong. Thanks for having us out. Here's your Longhorn t-shirt. See you later. Maybe you have something minor going wrong, and they're like, you know what? We could fix this for cheap, or we could file an insurance claim on your behalf so you don't have to pay anything for us. The insurance company's going to pay us all. And then also you're just preventing a potential major issue down the road. Like, get it looked at now so nothing major happens. All of a sudden, the next storm rolls around next week, and it's like, oh, is that water coming in through our roof? That's not good. Qualis Roofing and Construction, they're the best in the business. Tons of five-star reviews online. QualisGC.com is their website. 512-257-0033 is the number. Don't mess around with your roof. Reach out to our great friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction.
Yeah, I mean, that cumulative damage that your roof gets, BK, with these storms and all this wind may not happen right away, but boy, that starts to build up, loosens up all those, you know, you've got the whatever you're putting on your roof, whether it's wood or whatever, that stuff starts to melt away on you. You got to be careful with it. Yep. Like you said, it may not happen originally, but we've had a lot of high winds around here lately, a lot of hail damage.
Most important part of your home, right? The roof keeps everybody safe. Don't mess around with that. And again, there's no risk for having them out to your place. And again, they don't want you to pay for it. They want the insurance companies to pay for it.
Yeah.
And they get the money either way. They'll file the insurance claim and handle all that stuff on your behalf.
Sweet.
All right, Buck, I want to ask you a question right off the bat, and then we're going to let Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, answer this same question. Do you still believe that the SEC is the best conference in college football?
Do I believe it is? I still believe it's the overall toughest conference in college football, yes.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the best. I think overall it's the toughest from top to bottom.
I'm asking you about the best.
I don't know. The last two champs have been pretty good. The last three champs have been pretty good. Yeah. I will say yes, it still is.
Okay. It made you think for a little bit, right? If you were asked that question 3 or 4 years ago, it would have been a no-brainer.
It would have been, easily. Can't wait to get in that conference. It's the best conference in sports. I still believe that part of it. Yeah, but you're asking a football question. I still think it is.
Yeah, just college football. Look, the Big Ten. I still think it is. Yes. Okay. Yeah, there are a lot of folks around the country, obviously folks around the Big Ten, are staking claim that they are now the best conference in college football. They've won the last three national titles. They're also 4-0 in head-to-head playoff games against the SEC in the last 3 years. So there have been opportunities for SEC teams to go up against the Big Ten and beat them, but the Big Ten has had the success. Greg Sankey was asked about that at SEC spring meetings the other day. You would kind of expect him to give a response like this because of his position, but here's his thoughts on whether or not the Southeastern Conference is still the best in the sport.
If you look at the entirety of our league, we are by far the most competitive, the strongest football league, by far. But you're going to lose games when it's close and competitive like that. So why have they surpassed us? It's an oddball. It's bounced a couple times the wrong way. Indiana was pretty dominant in the Rose Bowl last year. But in a competitive environment, the margins are going to be thin, and we've come up on the short end. And I can assure you that everyone in this league is trying to figure out how to come up on the top end of that in the future. But I think from a big picture, the breadth, the depth of this league stands alone. In fact, we saw metrics out of the college football playoff presentation where there's no doubt we're the strongest league. Now, there's some segments of other leagues that are towards where we are, but not nearly the entirety of a conference like the Southeastern Conference. It's a pretty special place.
Spoken like a true commissioner.
Yeah, of course. He's putting on for the brand. He has to say that. But it's interesting. I mean, not only has the SEC not won a national championship in 3 years, they haven't had a team in the national championship game in the last 3 years, which is the longest streak for the SEC since 1999 to 2002. And we had a stretch. Obviously, this predates Texas's time in the Southeastern Conference, where the SEC had at least one team in 16 of 17 national championship games.
Right.
So that's not happening right now. And the Big Ten is caught up, and it's been three different Big Ten teams that have won it, too. It's not just like, oh, Ohio State's won it 3 years in a row, and the rest of the conference is trying to piggyback off of them. It's been Michigan. It's been Ohio State. Obviously, this past year, it was Indiana. So, yeah, look, the SEC's got to figure it out. I mean, I'm with you. Top to bottom, I think the SEC is the best league in the sport. But we say this all the time. Like, in sports, your legacy is defined by championships. So it's going to be hard for people to want to believe that you're the best league if you're not winning championships.
Well, I got a feeling if you lose a fourth and it comes out of the Big Ten, I won't be able to say this next year. I not with a straight face to be able to say it's the best. I would have to change. Four in a row.
Especially if it's like somebody else. I guess Oregon would be the most likely team, right? And they've never won a championship. But, like, you know, if there was a fourth Big Ten team to make it four different teams in a row, then you would look at Oregon, and they're going to be a top five team in the preseason. So they could. Obviously, Ohio State's going to be really good, too. Michigan with Kyle Whittingham, they're going to be
in all that stuff. You're right.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley's still coaching out there. Come on. Right?
USC's in there now.
With Lincoln Riley?
No, Oregon is probably the team that you're talking about, or Ohio State.
Yeah, and obviously Indiana. You don't want to forget about them. I know it's easy to forget about them, but
they're still playing football. Google me.
Google me's still there. And they have, don't forget, Indiana made the playoff 2 years ago. So it's not like, oh, they were just good for 1 year. Like,
they've been good. Been good since I got rolled in there.
For sure. I must expect them to make the playoff again this season. I don't expect them to go back-to-back, but I think they'll probably have one of the 12 spots when it's all said and done. So it would behoove the SEC to go ahead and win the national championship this year.
Yeah, I would say.
I'm not one of those conference homers. Like, we've got a Utah fan right now totally carrying water for Texas Tech. I think that kind of stuff's pretty pathetic. I only care if Texas wins. If Texas doesn't win, I don't really care who wins. Like, if A&M or Oklahoma wins the national championship, I just threw up in my mouth, I'm not going to be like, SEC, let's go. We're the best. I'm going to be like, well, damn, that sucks.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not happy about that. I don't want Georgia to win the national championship. I'd rather have Indiana win it again than Georgia win the national championship. So that's, you know, I look at it from a Longhorn lens. I only care that Texas wins, but it's obviously a big topic of conversation right now. Like, has the balance of power shifted in college football? It's definitely shifting. The question becomes, has it fully shifted to where now the SEC is number two? I don't know, man. We like you got Purdue in your league. You got Northwestern in your league.
Minnesota.
You got Rutgers in your league.
You got Minnesota
in your league. Sorry, we'll let the former president say it.
Minnesota! You got Northwestern in your league.
It's like I know not every team in the SEC is incredible, but I think the bottom of the SEC is significantly better than the bottom of the Big Ten. But the top of the Big Ten right now is better than the SEC. There's no real argument there. And the only way the conference can turn that around is
the only thing about it is you don't know who the top is. They keep changing. Somebody else different, like you said, wins every year now.
I know.
Now, who's good? What's next? Michigan State jumping in there?
Oof. I don't know about them.
Yeah, let's not forget they're in that. They're still in the Big Ten, aren't they?
They are still in the Big Ten.
And the Champagnes, the Champagnes.
Illinois. Yeah, yeah. They've got some decent teams in the middle of that conference, but I don't know. Again, top to bottom, I still think the SEC is the best league, but you got to win national championships. And that 4-0 stat, the fact that the Big Ten is 4-0 in their last four games against the SEC in the playoff, because like you look at bowl, it's tough to look at bowl records now. People are used to doing this, I guess, but like I love bowl games. I don't want them to go away. You kind of know bowl games don't mean as much with all the playoff expansion and the way college football operates now and opt-outs and this, that, and the other. So it's like you can't really look at non-playoff bowl games and be like, wow, well.
No, I don't care about the Mayo Bowl and all. That doesn't do anything for me.
The ACC, they beat the SEC in a couple of bowl games. They're clearly the better league. It's like you can't really do that. But in playoff games, like where the stakes are at their absolute highest, yes, that's what matters, and the Big Ten gets to brag about that right now. So we will see. Obviously, the SEC and the Big Ten, everyone's kind of looking at them to see what they are going to do regarding the future of college sports. You'd like for them to be in some sort of lockstep. It feels like they aren't right now. And instead of how are you working with the Big Ten, it's do you think you're better than the Big Ten? And I don't know if Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, is like, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be chomping at the bit to work with the guy who's like, no, we're clearly the best conference in the sport and everyone else can shove it.
Yeah, he's starting to think that way.
Yeah, they're both probably thinking that way, both of those two guys. And, yeah, I don't know. Greg Sankey's losing right now, I believe.
Yes, he is.
So we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. Big Ten.
No, he's not thinking that way. Joey McGuire.
What is Joey McGuire thinking right now?
He thinks his team is invincible. Yes. They're good. They want to play Texas. They want to play them anywhere, just not in Austin.
Yeah.
I like that. We'll play you anywhere, but not in Austin. Not for your home game.
Well, it's a very empty offer because he knows that the schedule is not going to get changed this close to the year.
Hell
so
no.
That's why he's doing it. He just wants to win over the court of public opinion. And as we said earlier, he wants people to not talk about his gambling, cheating quarterback who they're suing to try to get the play, even though they're breaking the rules to do that. It's funny that the conversation has become the team that schedules harder than anybody in America is soft, and the team that is blatantly cheating and trying to skirt the rules is tough. Amazing. Hey, it's a great PR move. It's clearly working. Idiots can't realize what's happening right now. There's a lot of them, especially the ones on the internet who hide behind their school's logo on Twitter or on YouTube.
Yeah, this is all distraction stuff by Joey McGuire. Yeah. I mean, he could have just – he just needed to let Sark say what he said and just go about his business and try to get the ankle monitor off his quarterback so that he can play in week one.
All right. Well, what do you think if Texas were to play Texas Tech at a neutral field, let's say at Jerry World in Arlington – and Brendan Sorsby can't play. What do you think the line is for that game? Maybe we should ask Sorsby that question, but what do you think the line is for that game?
14 points.
For Texas?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that, but I do know Texas is favored by a good amount. So
more than a touchdown.
Yeah, it's quite easy to say that we'll play you when you know you're not going to actually play them. So.
Yeah, I mean, once again, it's just – another way of trying to ease the pain of his quarterback. And, you know, he's gone to rehab. He's rehabbed. He's he's now ready to go. He's ready to go back out there and not put in 50-cent bets.
You're right. I mean, Texas Tech, big old tough Texas Tech, had the stones to schedule Abilene Christian, Oregon State, and Sam Houston this year. So they're all tough. They're questioning someone else's schedule, and that's what they've got going on this year. Real tough guys right there out there.
Nobody at Texas is falling for that distraction. Nobody's going to change that game against Texas State. We'd rather give the money to Texas State to come up the road than play Texas Tech anyway. Get them somewhere. But I'm like you. I don't mind going back and playing some of the Big 12 teams. I think some of those, what they thought were rivalries, were pretty fun. You know, to play Baylor every once in a while.
Well, here's the thing. If Texas does that, like, look, hypothetically, Texas could schedule Ohio State, Baylor, and Texas Tech every year in the non-con if they wanted to, right? You get three non-conference games, and you get to pick them on your own. That'd be incredibly dumb with the way the college football playoff is currently set up. With the way any college football, that's just dumb to your kids, right? That's just like you're hurting yourself by doing stuff like that.
Sure. But
the way it would realistically go is Texas would stop playing Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame in favor of Baylor and Texas Tech and TCU, like you're talking about. And then Texas is soft for doing that. You guys are playing these crappy Big 12 schools. You're not willing to play Ohio State anymore. You guys are soft as hell. Like, they just can't win. They can't win. Unless they play the Monstars 12 games in a row, people are going to dunk on Texas, even though they have the toughest schedule in America this season. All of a sudden, the Longhorns are soft because they're ducking a team who would be like the fifth or sixth toughest team they'd play this year.
I wonder if Joey McGuire's just talking, or has he actually got these people trying to change this game?
Well, again, Abilene Christian last night released a statement saying, like, we fully expect to be playing in Lubbock on September 5th. We haven't heard from G.J. Kinney, the head coach at Texas State, because Joey McGuire's like, I talked to G.J. Kinney about it, and he's down. I mean, we haven't heard from that. This also, you know, wins against FCS teams don't count towards your bowl eligibility. And Texas State is a team that's probably fighting for bowl eligibility. Like, you can't count multiple wins towards FCS bowl eligibility. So Texas State already has an FCS team on their schedule. They add another one. It's not like, oh, a free win over Abilene Christian is going to help them out a lot. It doesn't do anything for them. So it doesn't make any sense for them to want to say yes to this. Unless Texas Tech's like, we know what Texas is paying you. We'll pay you triple that if you scrap the game off their schedule.
Believe me, it's going to be close to double it if they did that. If they'd have to. I don't know if they'd get triple, but they should have to get double.
Yeah. Well, and maybe Texas Tech, if they want to, however much Texas makes from a home game at DKR, maybe if they want to foot the bill for that, it's still not going to happen. But, like, that's what Chris Del Conte would be doing right now. All the money that would go in to Texas hosting Texas State for the season opener, very highly anticipated game to watch this 2026 team that we all have high hopes for. Like, yeah, Texas Tech, you want to offer us all of that money that we would be losing from having to play a neutral site game in week one or a game in Lubbock, then maybe we could talk.
Yeah, but once again, the fans, you can't do that to your fans. Less than 100 days before the game, the fans will go berserk. You're playing who? You're giving who a chance? That group?
And here's the thing. If Steve Sarkisian, I don't think he ever would, but if he's like, yeah, Texas Tech, you guys come here and play us, Tech wouldn't say yes to this either. The other reasons Texas Tech would say yes to this game, because, again, they don't play in a real conference, so they could lose and still make the playoff. Like, they wouldn't say yes to that because they don't want to screw over their own fans.
No.
They don't want to give up a home game.
And then remember, they'll never forget the last time they were here.
Yeah. I'm glad Joey McGuire brought that up in that sound, too. I didn't have to bring
it up. That is great. Yeah, he could have tried to forget about that, but that was good. He brought it up just to remind – hey, just to remind the powers that may be that think that they should do this, don't do it. Because last time we were there, Texas brought in their thirds and fourths and fifths string guys, and they beat us by 50.
Well, again, the funniest part of this entire thing to me is that we've totally lost the plot twice, right? The first plot, and look, Sark's he's walking into some mud here. Okay.
Yes.
Like you call out other schools, whether by name or not, then you're setting yourself up for other schools to talk back, right? For some sort of public ridicule. That's how it was. So Sark is, he's doing that. But the first plot was the reason why Sark brought this thing up about Texas Tech. The way the college football playoff is structured right now is horrible. Everybody complained about Tulane and James Madison getting in last year.
Yes.
Like most people think it's ridiculous the way that you could play a totally different schedule than somebody else, yet your resume is basically treated the exact same as that other team, even though they played the 60th ranked strength of schedule and you played the third. Like any right. rational human being thinks those things are ridiculous. Sark brought up the comments because he wanted to bring attention to that topic. That was the first plot. No one's talking about that anymore. The second plot was, he wasn't saying Texas Tech's bad. He was saying the Big 12 is bad. He didn't say we could beat Texas Tech's starters with our twos and threes. He's like, we could beat everybody they have to play against with their twos and threes. That was like a compliment to Texas Tech. Like, you guys are so much better than the league, so I'm going to pick you guys to call out here because your schedule stinks and you're not playing the teams we're playing in the SEC. And somehow it's turned into Texas thinks Texas Tech sucks and they could beat them with their backups. It's like, no, that's not really what Steve Sarkisian said.
No, but he knows he could.
Texas Tech. I don't think Steve Sarkisian believes he could beat Texas Tech with twos and threes. Now, if their quarterback can't play and their other quarterback's hurt, then maybe we'd have a game.
Yeah.
But again, like Steve Sarkisian didn't say we could beat anybody in the Big 12 with their backups. We could beat Texas Tech with our backups. It was, we could beat anybody on their schedule with our backups, which I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's even true. It was hyperbole to try to draw attention to the problem with the college right. football playoff right now.
And that's what he intended to do.
And it's turned into Texas is incredibly soft because they're not playing Texas Tech, even though they're playing the toughest schedule in the country. But let's ignore that.
That was said in Houston where Joey McGuire has to go recruit too.
Right. And again, it wasn't a shot at Texas Tech, but nobody at Texas Tech can figure that out. And apparently no one around the country. It's been weird to see because, you know, but like no one in the SEC likes the Longhorns. Nobody anywhere likes the Longhorns, but it's, the SEC, the other 15 schools have not been the most welcoming of guests to Texas, right?
No.
They're talking plenty of trash. They hate Texas. They want to root against Texas. Who do these guys think they are coming into our league trying to take over? Whatever. We know that. I'm seeing so many SEC people out there like, of course we're siding with Texas here. Like, how do you not realize, like, how do y'all not realize what Steve Sarkisian is saying here? This is very obvious to figure out. And there's no benefit for Texas to playing this game. There's a ton of benefit for Texas Tech to play this game. But also, that's not the point he was trying to make here.
No.
So we're losing the plot altogether. Congrats on your Twitter win. Congrats on your PR stunt, Texas Tech. You got everybody to love you, and no one's talking about your degenerate gambling quarterback.
Walking campus with an ankle monitor on.
Yeah, walking campus with an ankle monitor on. That's what's
got to be in by 11 o'clock at night.
Crazy. So there you go. That's hopefully something else happens over the weekend where we can talk about something else.
Oh, there'll be something else. That's sports. There's always something else coming up.
Well, who's Sark going to call out next? And again, he's writing some big checks right now. He better cash them this year.
Oh, yeah, he is. I mean, he's talking a lot more than I've ever heard him talk.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Which means he's pretty confident about his football program.
I think so. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And also part of this, I don't think it's like I want to be overly cocky about my team. It's someone needs to stand up to all the problems that are happening in college football. I'm going to do it. And a lot of people are like, well, you haven't won enough to do that. And that's fair. Like, he's trying to be what Nick Saban was when he was coaching. Nick Saban's the GOAT. Sark hasn't won a national title. He hasn't been to a national title game. So I get that argument. Like, Sark, whatever. But I said this earlier. Everyone's complaining about college football right now. When you're the head coach at the University of Texas, you've got a little bit of power to, like, maybe sway some opinion and get some things changed. I just think it's incredibly ironic that Sark is complaining about a lot of the things we're all complaining about.
Sure.
And everyone's calling him a bunch of names and saying he's soft and weak and a loser and this, that, and the other, when I think his goal is to try to fix the sport that is falling apart because it's cannibalizing itself.
Yeah, and plus, you know, there's so much being said about his conference right now, too. You know, Lane Kiffin and all that stuff. He's trying to take some of the pressure off the conference, too. He wants to make sure that everybody understands that Texas is not only the big timer that walked into the SEC and doing quite fine. He wants to understand that he does respect the conference that he's in. And we've been talking about, and the conference has been talking about themselves a lot here at these meetings. That's what happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's part of it too. I mean, it's 9-3 Texas got left out of the playoff last year. 10-2 Vanderbilt got left out of the playoff last year. Favor of teams who played a lot worse schedules than they did.
Yes.
So this is Jake. I think Jake said it earlier, like college football is the sport where you are what your record says you are is not always true. About every other sport, it kind of is, because you're basically playing around the same teams every year.
You're right.
College football, that ain't the case at all. And that's I would like for that to change, but I don't call the shots, so they don't listen to me. All right. Good stuff. Good conversation here on a Friday morning. We'll get to the BBK news in a moment. Pretty hilarious video that people have to see and you have to see. Woman's gone viral for something that happened in a traffic stop earlier this week, and it's pretty good. We'll get to that in a moment. But before we do, how about our last round of sponsor shout-outs?
I know our guy Matt King is already gone, but, boy, I bet you he's still collecting for the RideProject.com, folks. I know he ran into a little bad weather, and, of course, in this state, we've had some bad weather, lots of winds, lots of rain. So when you're on a bicycle, that could be a problem going 2,000 miles. And I bet he's fighting through it right now, because – he's running into a lot of sun and humidity right now, BK. But the RideProject.com is still there for you to donate. You know, he's trying to raise $1 million for that ride and give that money away along the trip, a 2,000-mile journey. And there's nobody better to perform this trip than Matt King. So still think about the RideProject.com. Still think about giving and give what you can. It doesn't have to be $100,000. It doesn't have to be $50,000. It can be $25. It can be $10. Matt King is still collecting that money. So go to the RideProject.com for more information, folks.
Yeah, been following along on his social media, and man, it's cool. It's cool to see. He started day 3 today, and obviously some crazy weather has kind of slowed things down.
Oh, I bet.
But he's going through Texas, and I think getting through Oklahoma today, or maybe to Oklahoma today. But he's already donated $12,000 to a certain charity in South Texas. So all the money goes directly towards helping communities all over the U.S. of A. The RideProject.com, and follow along on social media. We're supposed to talk to him yesterday. Someone's rectum wasn't working, so we didn't. But we'll get to chop it up with Matt at some point along his ride for sure. And shout out to Sleep Cycle Center. It's the weekend. You want to sleep. You don't want to be waking up tired or drowsy. You don't want to be waking up because the person sleeping next to you is snoring a bunch. Take care of your sleeping problems, or make sure your partner takes care of their sleeping problems. Sleep Cycle Center, our guy, Dr. Chad, he can make those problems go away forever. And it's not just annoying. Ah, if you snore, who cares? I don't hear it. I don't care about my partner. I'm good. Now, it can be a sign of a serious health problem. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. People lose their lives because of this disease. It is a disease. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie White lost his life in his sleep because he had sleep apnea, didn't get it taken care of. Boom. Just like that. Dr. Chad lost his own father in his sleep. Why? Undiagnosed sleep apnea. That's why he's so passionate about this mission. Go see them. SleepCycleCenters.com to schedule a free consultation. You mentioned the show, you'll get $100 off an at-home sleep study from our great friends at Sleep Cycle Center. A good night's rest begins here. All right, a few minutes to go on a Friday show. We'll get to the BBK news here. I'll start with this, Buck. A woman has gone viral for a moment that happened to her in a traffic stop.
Okay.
A cop pulled her over, and he said he did, because the woman was using her cell phone. and he was convinced this woman was using her cell phone in her right hand while driving.
Oh.
Put a crackdown on, you know, distracted driving. See that happen around here.
Do that yet, Officer Jack Wagon?
Officer Jack, oh, you are pro texting and driving.
I am not. I don't text and drive. I used the phone before while driving, but if I have to text, I pull over.
You've got Bluetooth in your car, right?
I do.
You just take the phone calls through that, so it's not like you're holding up a phone to your ear.
But every once in a while, I'll, you know, because of my music, because I need all the distractions I can get, I'll have the music on and I'll have the phone in my hand and talking with the speaker loud like that, yes. But I don't text. I don't hit buttons. I don't do the buttons thing. I'll pull over off the side of the road if I got to actually text somebody.
If your phone is connected to your Bluetooth, it automatically stops the music, right? And it takes your call through the car?
Well, sometimes mine does. I'll just say sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
I can help you set that up if you would like. I don't believe it.
I've got it set the way I need it. I don't want anybody, you, my wife, going in my car and, no, touching my deal.
This is you. Yeah, actually, you know.
I don't do this. It's down where you can't see it, officer.
Phone in one hand. Oh, phone in the lap. And then you're eating, what, a Hat Creek burger in your other hand. What's on the wheel, sir?
No, I only eat. Where's your place that you go to? Taco Bell. I only do Taco Bell while driving.
Oh, all right. Well, so what? A phone in the lap and a crispy taco and
crispy. Hey, crispy with mild sauce on it. When you crunch it, and everything's falling everywhere.
All right. Well, it's good to hear that you don't text and drive. It's not really good to hear any of that other stuff that you just said. I'm a little concerned for you and everybody else on the road. But this is hilarious. Why this has gone viral? You're like, okay, what's the story? What's the big deal? People get pulled over for texting and driving all the time. What's going on? Well, for those of you watching on video, you'll get to see it. There's sound of this too, so you'll hear it, but this is pretty hilarious, Buck.
This is why you're being pulled over. The city of Lake Worth today, we're doing an operation for distracted driving. You drove past me holding the phone with your right hand, manipulating that phone. I mean, I saw you with the phone in your hand.
Obviously not. So you want to just call this a day?
Or? I don't want to call it a day. You had a hand up manipulating the phone.
You just said my right hand.
Well, I thought I saw you with your right hand. I saw you manipulating.
So you didn't.
With the right hand, perhaps not, right?
But I saw you didn't see me with my right hand.
Are you saying
that you saw me with my
I know
right
what
hand.
I just said. I know what I just said. I'm asking you now. Did you have your phone on your hand?
I did not.
You did not have your phone on your hand?
I did not.
Hand to God, you didn't have your phone on your hand.
Hand to God.
The other hand to God, you didn't have your phone on your hand.
Hand to God.
She only held my...
So, again, for those not watching, she had a stump. There was no right hand. She had a left hand, but... stump as a right extremity, if you will.
Officer saw a stump.
And the cop is like, I saw you with your right hand texting. And she's like, nope, couldn't be that. And then the cop is still like, I saw it. And she's like, no. And he's like, well, maybe your other hand. Like he should have given up. He should have just laughed and walked away. And it's like, my bad.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's like,
no, I'm convinced. I know what I saw. And then he asked her, hand to God, and she puts up her stump. And then he's like, other hand to God. It's like, oh, take the L, cop. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, that was one. Just take that loss and move along.
Yeah, you can't say, like, I'm convinced I saw you texting with your right hand, and then she doesn't have a right hand. And like, I got her. It's like, no, you got the wrong car, dude.
Hey, by the way, that's one that if I'm her, I'm like, we're going to go to court for that one because you've got that. And plus you've got that video going, you know, let's see how you explain that with my stump, officer. Right.
I assume she didn't get a ticket for this. Like that's kind of the end of the video is the end. You know what we just played. I assume the cop's like, all right, you can go. If she got a ticket for this, that's a freaking joke. And she should absolutely sue. I don't know if you could sue for somebody just pulling you over.
Not to sue, but just to make a point to the people that, no, I didn't use my right hand. I don't have a right hand. I have a right stump that I don't, there's not little tiny fingers on my stump, officer.
Now, we didn't think of this, Buck. She could have chopped off her hand while the cop was walking up to her car.
Yeah, but she would have had a bloody stump by that time.
Well, maybe it's being hidden and you just can't see it on this camera, you know?
It's falling in between the seats. Are you telling me that?
Maybe there's a bunch of blood. Oh, apparently she did get a ticket and it got dismissed. So there's more to the story that I didn't see. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I wonder if she can sue now. Well, thank goodness it got dismissed. It's ridiculous. I mean, she single-handedly won the argument against the cop, did she not, Buck?
Yeah, she did. Yes, yes. Raise your right hand to God. Yeah.
How great is that?
That was great. That's fabulous.
And I'm still going with she chopped her hand off while she did that, you know.
That is unbelievable. I just take that. I would take that loss so quick if I was a cop. I don't care if it was time. If we were doing a fundraiser and that was my last hour of the fundraiser and I had to get one more ticket, it would be like, I quit. No, I can't do this.
A job's on the line. Yeah, I'm out. Look, I would have cracked up if I was the cop. Then I would have been like, sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that. My bad. You're free to go. And then maybe she would have been mad at me for laughing, but the whole situation's too funny for me to keep a straight face.
Yeah, I'm surprised that dude didn't say, let's see your foot on the brake. Let's see how you're braking down there.
Yeah. I saw you with your knee actually steering the wheel, and you know, it was your other hand that was texting instead. I don't know.
Nah, he needed to leave that one go pretty quickly.
Other hand.
He's got his camera on. He's got his camera on doing all this.
Yeah, no, he got caught. That was pretty good right there. So there you go. There's your viral BBK news story to wrap up a Friday show.
That's a good one.
Happy National Biscuit Day, National Paperclip Day, National Alligator Day, and Put a Pillow in Your Fridge Day, Buck.
What?
You familiar with this bit? Apparently, early 20th century folklore, so you should know, families would place a piece of cloth or a pillow atop their icebox or refrigerator as a whimsical good luck charm to bring wealth and abundance to the household.
Go abundance?
I don't know if it's going to bring the go abundance guys to your household. You're going to get wealth and abundance if you put a pillow in your fridge. Maybe that's
on
my
top
problem.
Of the fridge or in the fridge? Actually, in the fridge?
It doesn't say where in the fridge. It just says piece of cloth or pillow atop their icebox. So it's on your fridge. Sorry, it's not in your fridge. I think I said on, but now I'm probably confusing everybody. On top of your fridge.
Okay. Well, no, I didn't know. I thought putting your little kids' magnets of the stuff that they did with crayons is part of getting, you know, having good luck happen to you. And we don't do that anymore. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to even bring my grandkids stuff and stick it on a refrigerator. My wife doesn't play that sticker on the refrige game. We used to do that back in the day.
Yeah, that just makes nobody care. That doesn't bring you wealth or not wealth. That just makes nobody care about you at all.
Yeah, I could bring that stuff home when I was a kid and it would be on the refrigerator because with the stuff that I used to do, all I could do is stick figures with breasts. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I could do.
That would make me care, actually. Hang on. I don't need to see little Johnny get an A- on a paper. Don't put that on your fridge. If you've got a kid who's drawing some nice breasts, then all right. That's what I'm looking
for. That was my art. That was it. That's all I could do. Stick figures with big boobs.
Yeah. There you go. That's an impressive skill right there. Don't ever lose that, sir.
No.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for a Friday show. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Y'all enjoy the weekend. Busy one on the 40 acres. And we'll be back to recap.
Wait, let me ask you before we go. Do I have a hockey game that I could put some wagering on? Do I need to win something for the people?
Yes, you do. You've got a game 5 tonight in the Eastern Conference Final. Carolina trying to close out Montreal at home. It's going to be a 2-for-1 if you want to do this. And even that's being nice because Carolina's minus 250. So me giving you a 2-for-1 is actually me doing you a solid here, sir.
I'm like a 2-for. Okay, I will go ahead and put 2,000 unit play on Carolina in this thing.
50,000?
No, I want 200,000.
That's quite the difference within 1 second.
Yes, yes, big.
So if you lose, you lose 400,000 units, correct?
Are they trying to? This is not. This is going to be a Claude Lemieux game. This is them trying to. No, it won't happen. Carolina's ending this thing.
I regret to inform you that it's not a Claude Lemieux game because he's dead.
No. This will be for him. This will be.
Tribute to. Yes. Okay. Oh, not sure, like they're going to call him out of retirement.
No, he's not. He's not coming out. Okay. He won't be on the ice.
Got it.
It's not going to be like a squid. It's not going to be like a, you know, hat trick. No, it's not happening.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll put 200,000 units. So I'll put 2,000 units that it's ending in Carolina.
200,000 units on the Canes, the Raising Canes tonight.
Raising Canes. It's going to cost me to lose, but this is a winner.
I think you're right. I think you'll get a free 200K on Carolina in this one, and then we'll see what happens game 7 tomorrow in the NBA. That will do it for this show. Thanks for tuning in. Y'all enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to y'all on Monday.
Hook 'em, y'all.
Hook 'em.